Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You want to hear somebody put on a horrible fake accent in Breakfast Bites and Pat Bostic at 7:45 to preview the aforementioned ACC championship game between Pitt and Wake Forest that you'll hear tomorrow night here on The Fan. If the Steelers pull it off against the Ravens, and your belief in them doing so is a little bit stronger than mine, I think we can get into that a little bit later. And, you know, what the key is to the Steelers pulling off this upset if they do on Sunday. But if they do, is the listing ship completely righted? Do we feel good about things again? Or is it just sort of a pause button on the worry until Thursday against Minnesota?
No, it's a win doesn't do as much in the good as a loss does to send them down a spiral that can't be pulled up, I think.
Yeah. As I described it, I think it puts a pause button on the worry and the fear and the concern. Or at the very least, it keeps the temperature from going up. Right? It'll just sit there and continue to simmer rather than be turned up to a full boil. Now, here's the other side. The flip side of that coin is if they lose. Now, even though a lot of people say they expect them to lose, our Twitter poll the other day, straight up, who do you got, Steelers or Ravens, was something like 78% Baltimore, right? Most people expect Baltimore to win this game. So that being said, is it necessarily going to do much to turn up your heat level, your anger level, your frustration levels if they do lose to Baltimore on Sunday?
I won't be angry. It'll be, well, I won't see a lot of hope into the rest of the season.
Right.
I don't think. I think that it'll be headed toward maybe two wins at best in the rest of the year, you know?
If they lose to Baltimore, well, here's the thing. I think they can win one of these two Baltimore games that are
right
left on the schedule. So I'm not willing to say right now that if they lose to Baltimore, they're destined for that first Mike Tomlin losing season. I think they're headed for that anyway, but I'm not putting it in the bank.
I think a loss solidifies it for me.
Until they lose. I think
if they get below 500, they'll never get back above it.
That's interesting. I think they
might get to it. They'll never get back above it.
Okay. In that case, I think I'm with you, because when you look at the way the schedule stacks up, they could lose to Baltimore and then beat Minnesota.
Right.
A win in Minnesota would not totally shock or surprise me, because we just laid out how Minnesota's been in nothing but one score games, essentially. And there's still that little tiny eensy bit of Ben magic left in there that if he gets a drive with the game on the line, he may be able to come back and beat.
Now, I know they're the suddenly hot Miami Dolphins. They still are only 5-7, and Baltimore lost to them not long ago. You
true
know? So there's that thought for me. But and the Steelers do have a way, and we'll get into this in a little while, of bottling up Lamar Jackson, at least relative to the rest of the league. They have had
they've
some
shown
success
it in the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not sky high on the Steelers, but I'm not leaving them for dead into this game, because crazy things happen in this rivalry. And over the course of this game, when Mike Tomlin and Harbaugh coach against each other, now this isn't going back 40 years. So I think that there are some things that are relative, especially because so much of the staff has remained the same. It's seemingly always a field goal game when these two teams play, when these two coaches
coach
against
each other. There's not a lot of routes in this series.
Right. And it is a lineup. There's not a lot of tricks. You know what we're doing. We know what you're doing, and we're just going to try to do that better, as opposed to stop you more, force you into something you don't do. And the Steelers know what Lamar Jackson does, and the Ravens seemingly know what the Steelers do.
Know what the Steelers do. Yeah, and that's the part that really worries me. We can get into the Baltimore side of the ball in a couple of minutes, but when the Steelers have the football, this offense has been so bad that I see, you know, I think it's Tyus Edwards is his name, the one inside linebacker, or the one strong side linebacker. You've got Patrick Queen. Like, I don't know how the Steelers generate enough offense to make this a game unless, again, as we'll get into in a couple minutes, Lamar Jackson completely melts down, although he's melted down a couple times this year as far as turnovers go, and Baltimore's been able to pull some of those out.
I think this has to be a game where the Steelers take a page from what the Ravens used to do to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that is I think they have to throw to Freiermuth like 14 times.
Yeah.
And just try to offset what can getting manhandled at the line of scrimmage by throwing to the tight end at or around the scrimmage line or maybe 3 or 4 yards down the field,
right,
and just make him a battering ram.
Now, one thing will be all but certain if they do lose to the Ravens on Sunday, and that would be they would be nearly mathematically eliminated from winning the division because they would fall. And look, I don't have any designs on the Steelers winning the AFC North at this point, but they would be, I think, three and a half games back with, what, 5 games to play, almost mathematically eliminated from the division. And I think at that point, too, if they lose, you're talking about being anywhere from 10th to maybe 12th, 13th in the AFC standings, which means the road even back to that 8-8-1 or 9-7-1 sneak into the playoffs and get a wild card game, that road is closed off as well.
Well, at some, and then you start to go down the road like we talked about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, if they're way out of it, then you have to talk about personnel and getting ready for next year.
Yes.
And who plays and who doesn't. And especially at the quarterback position. And then how many hits your running back takes. And all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of different things that they need to be fast and loose with a game plan in terms of a long-term game plan with a lot of people.
That Kansas City game the day after Christmas could be the one that really, truly just kind of, if it's not done by then, by that point, that could be the one that really puts the final nail in the coffin. Because and those last two against Baltimore and Cleveland may not even mean anything, and that
it could
would
mean a lot to those other two teams,
to those other two teams, but to the Steelers they could. But and that's exactly why, to loop back on the thing that we talked about yesterday, you won't see Ben not play in any of
what
those
if they
games
go
the
into
stretch.
The last one and they're out of it,
mm-hmm.
but it's for a 500 record. If they go into the last one, 7-8-1 Yes.
Oh. I firmly believe even if they go into that last one 5-10-1, Tomlin's still going to play everybody.
Jeez.
He's still going to play everybody.
Jeez.
And it's going to be, well, it's an AFC North division game, and we owe the game the respect. It'll be some kind of nonsense about how they've got to uphold the integrity of the
game. But to this game in front of them, if they win this football game, I don't think people will be riding sky high in Pittsburgh.
No.
But I do think that hope will glimmer again just a little bit, that the pilot light won't be out.
That's it, yeah. That the candle won't have been complete, the flame won't have been completely
snuffed
out.
And I don't blame them. I feel the same exact way. You know, now, are they going to win a playoff game? Are they going to get to the playoffs? Probably not. But there's still that hope there.
Well, because here's the other side of the coin from all the negativity that we talked about. If you're still holding out hope, if you're one of those 22% of people that voted that you think the Steelers can win this game straight up, if they beat Baltimore, Minnesota, we've talked about a little bit already this morning. You win on Thursday night in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we're talking about piecing together some wins, and then you get Tennessee at home. We all know what Tennessee has become without Derrick Henry and without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. There's just not much cooking for them. You win 3 in a row, and I don't expect it to happen by any means, but if you did, all of a sudden you're 8-5-1 and staring down those final 3 games of Kansas City, Baltimore, Cleveland.
If they lose and Ben plays bad, though, we have to have a serious talk about the end of an era, and it really ends. No matter how the final games play out, it just needs to be done. Like, we've had that talk already, but if they lose and he plays bad, how much longer can it go?
Yeah, you're right.
How can he still have anybody else on his side?
Here's the other side of that. What can he possibly do in the next 5 games? To tell your 6 games that tells you, yeah, you know what? I would be comfortable with him coming back for one more year. I don't think there's anything in there. I don't see any realistic path towards that conclusion. Lee Sterling going to join us in less than an hour, as he does every Friday at 8 o'clock. He's got a ton of picks for you. He nailed another wrong team favored call last Friday. He told you Michigan was going to upset Ohio State, and it happened. Charlie Batch at 9 o'clock. Vinny Serrato from The Fan in Baltimore to give us a view from behind enemy lines at 8:45. Dan Zangrilli right now. Yes, the Friday Night Lights continue on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. Tonight, Ben Trafford against Exeter. Dan, the PIAA state semifinals. You ready?
Yeah, we're ready, and we're actually going to drive 2.5 hours to make this happen. We're going all the way out to, I guess, your old stomping grounds, Chris, near Bellefonte.
Okay.
In the shadows of Penn State. So, yeah, the district finals are here, semifinals. State title appearance is on the line next week. And, boy, what a story for Penn Trafford, huh? First WPIAL title ever. They've rolled off 9 straight games, and they're going to try to do something similar here, going to an Exeter team that actually has 3 losses on the year, much like Penn Trafford, who kind of upset, if you will, the top seed in 5A in Moon in a dramatic game at Heinz Field last week. The Tigers were undefeated. The Exeter Eagles, they did the same thing essentially to Governor Mifflin, a team that earlier in the season beat them 54-21. They were able to squeak by with a 31-28 victory by running their running back 41 times for 225 yards and playing keep away from that offense.
Yeah, you throw the records out the window when Governor Mifflin and Exeter get together. you better watch out. That said, let me ask something philosophically or kind of bigger picture real quick before we let you go, Dan. Is it – how did you think that people locally view the WPIL championship via the PIAA championship?
You know, there's always a concern with the coaches about a letdown the following week, particularly this game, because I think you can get guys up for Hershey Park, Pennsylvania, and going to the championships and playing for the whole thing in the state of Pennsylvania. But there's a game in between, and this week is that game. And this game is played somewhere in the middle of nowhere, essentially. And in this case, you have to go all the way to Bellefonte. You play it in a high school facility. It's not Heinz Field. But it's interesting. I was reading and chatting with John Ruane, the head coach at Penn Trafford, and that concern that he had, that every coach has had over the years, it went away at the Monday practice. He said that the Monday practice that they had was their best practice of the year. Now, is that just coaches speak to kind of gloss over all of those concerns, which I think have been really legitimate and proved to be legitimate over the years? I don't know. I don't think so. He's not a guy that really BS's you.
Well, let me interject something. Jim Render told me one time, we were having a discussion, he said to me, he goes, you know, I'm tired of the people who say the WPIL championship is like bigger than a state championship or a state championship isn't big because, and he said, I can go to a coach's convention in Texas or Florida, and if I wear a WPIL championship ring, they don't know what the hell that is. If I wear my Pennsylvania state championship ring, they know exactly what it's like to be the best team in Pennsylvania. I thought that was a really good point.
It's a good point, and he's obviously the really best coach of all time in the state of Pennsylvania as far as win total is concerned. I would just disagree with him. While everything that he says makes sense, there's a legitimate concern. Talking to many, many, many other coaches that have won a lot, they say that it's just a real thing because of the hype of getting to Heinz, the pomp and circumstance, the big crowds that you get. It's just hard to get them up the following week. Now, having said that, over the years, the WPIL has always been well represented in Hershey. You know, whether it's 6 classifications or 4, Western Pennsylvania is sending at minimum 2 to 3 teams. We haven't really done a clean sweep of every classification because there's some really good football out east, but it's tough. But I don't think that that's going to be the case, or maybe it's applicable here with Penn Trafford. This is a pretty special group that's made some history. They've got Cade Yacomelli, who's headed to Wisconsin. He's one of the more intriguing and special backs, strongest runner perhaps that I've seen in 20 years doing this. So it's going to be really exciting. They are really deserving of this, the way that the community has wrapped their arms around this football team. Congratulations to them. I hope their storybook season just continues and they could finish this thing out all the way. So they've got Imatep Charter or Strathaven, potentially waiting for them if they can take care of business tonight.
All right. And, of course, you'll have us covered all the way through the end of the state playoffs next weekend. Dan Zangrilli, play-by-play for our Friday Night Lights coverage on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. Thanks so much, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you all.
Yep. Enjoy the drive. Right. Bellefonte's beautiful this time of year, or so I've been told. I don't know if that's completely true or not. Okay, I'll be honest, it's not true. Lamar Jackson, the key to Sunday afternoon's game against the Ravens. Even if the Steelers can keep him in turnover machine mode as he's been for the last couple of weeks, is that enough? Pat Bostic, 7:45 to preview the ACC championship game. And somebody tried a little too hard to endear themselves to the locals the other day. We'll let you hear it next on the Fan Morning.
It's time for Breakfast Bites, a tasty soundbite to start your day with a Fan Morning Show.
All right, it's always big when a new coach gets hired, especially if the basketball team is at home, and everybody's on campus. Have the coach, the new football coach, go give a little mini pep talk, right? Maybe before the game or at halftime of said basketball game. They decided to do that down in Baton Rouge the other day, same day that Brian Kelly was introduced as their new head coach, and they had the press conference and all the pictures and social media just awash in Brian Kelly and LSU gear. They said, hey, Brian, grab the mic. Go talk to the fans at the basketball game. Let them know you're excited. He might have tried a little too hard to make it sound like he's one of them.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
Yay! Family had a little bit of extra something on it there. What was the word earlier? It's had a little extra twang on it.
Yeah, he's a bit much. But, I mean, it is. That's what people want. I think that's what
you
people
think?
Want.
I don't know if people. I don't know. Just be yourself, dude. Be
but
Brian
here's the
Kelly.
Thing, though.
That's what they signed up for.
I know. And it's easy to dog the guy, and right? But, like, the college football fans create this atmosphere. I'm not a Brian Kelly fan. I'm not. And I've seen him personally talk to people that I can't believe. Mm-hmm. And that turns me off more than any of this. Like the rah-rah atmosphere that people all around the country are making fun of this morning. The college football fan creates that and craves that.
It's not at least in my case, I'm not laughing.
Especially in the South.
I'm not laughing at the rah-rah atmosphere, that part. Hey, by all means, if I'm an LSU fan and I'm excited about the hire, I am all in on that too. It's not the rah-rah
like
thing.
Like, he could have the fakest accent ever, and if he wins football games, people that wear purple and gold to those games,
they
don't care.
They'll love him. But I'll just laugh at his fake accent. So, and that's okay too. You can follow us on Twitter.
If they landed, I was thinking of this too. Mm-hmm. If they landed a spaceship, or if you started civilization all over again, and they came in and they said, "Wait a minute!" Like my friends and I were texting each other, and we love college football, but they said, "Wait a minute! There are like doctors and lawyers and policemen and stuff, and they only get paid this much money, and then you have someone that coaches a game." And they get paid this much money, and you've also created buildings in civilization that hold 110,000 mm-hmm. people that you only really use 8 days or 7 days a year.
The aliens' heads would explode.
Right.
When you tried to explain
that to
wouldn't
people be like, what the hell is going
on here?
I'm sorry,
what do you do every Saturday? Why do you waste that much time?
There are even other parts of the world right now in existence where you go, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
So the policeman and the doctor. And the person that saves your life, whatever, they make this much money.
You're right. You don't even need to tell someone from another planet this.
Right.
Just find someone from New Zealand.
Yes.
Be like, hey, listen, we pay our college football coaches
right.
a gajillion dollars. They're usually the highest paid person in the state, and they wield an unbelievable amount of power and like 100,000 people. Right. And they would stop you before you even
but
got
then,
there.
And that, the other part, too, is
bloody
then
hell,
I
mate.
Fly over this building, and it's gigantic that I see. We only use it 8 days a year. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. You only use that building, and it takes up
Bloody
so much
hell,
space.
You spent how much on that?
And there's all these parking lots for it?
No, they laugh at us in other places.
It makes no sense, but it makes all the sense.
Sure.
So,
especially
anyhow.
If your coach is willing to throw a new accent on top, just for good measure. Lee Sterling going to join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk to him from Paramount Sports about all the picks, all the things, all the wrong teams that may be favored. Pat Bostic in less than 15 minutes to preview the ACC championship game as well here on the Fan Morning Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Do you think Doran's ever been on a car ride with Zeiss before? I just realized we were talking about the ACC championship game.
Yes, filmed one. Isn't there one where they did
where they did one of those, what do they call them, road rants or whatever?
Yes.
But have they ever gone long distance together? Because they're going to Charlotte.
Are they driving there together?
I would imagine. I mean, that makes sense, right? If Doran wants to take his life in his hands.
I told you the best one ever was Zeiss. You take a car ride with Zeiss, and he falls off the wagon a little bit. There's a rest stop at like Midway or somewhere.
Okay.
And there's a Cinnabon and a Popeyes. Mm-hmm. I want to say at Midway or maybe even more toward the eastern part of the state. It could even be Breezewood somewhere. He looked at me one time. We were driving, of course, 97 miles an hour and shifting lanes. And he said to me, I'm not even hungry, but as a matter of principle, I need to stop here because I love those two places. And he stopped and he got a Popeyes and a Cinnabon and then was real quick. It was like a NASCAR pit stop. He ran and he got the two things and heated it right back up to like 94 miles an hour and was eating those two things as we were driving. But yeah, because I go, Paul, we're going to stop. He goes, I'm not even hungry, but I have to. I just have to. I'd feel bad that I passed that without stopping.
So if I Google it, it says from our parking lot
let's guess.
To Bank of America Stadium is 7 hours and 4 minutes.
7 hours and 4 minutes?
How fast does Zeiss make it?
6 hours and 17 minutes.
6:17? I will say 6:08.
I say, definitely under 6:25.
Yeah. Write those down, Matt. We're going to have to check with Doran.
Type from our parking lot to Notre Dame Stadium, because I have to think of this number, though.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, it's incredible. So type our parking lot, yep. Notre Dame Stadium.
Moose Krause Circle.
Yes.
Hold on. It's loading. Loading. Okay. How fast did you say you made it in?
You tell me how what its time is. And
6 hours and 21 minutes.
I honestly want to say that Zeiss made it in just at 5 hours time.
Dear God. That's cutting off like 20% of the trip.
Yeah, we did the average one time. He averaged like 91.6 miles an hour to Notre Dame. So whatever that was, it was over 90 on the average.
Yeah.
It was like 91.6
miles. 385 miles on this one route.
Mm-hmm. I promise you, like we did the average out, and it was like 91 miles an hour he averaged.
Insane.
So, yes.
All right. We'll talk to Pat Bostic about the ACC championship game in less than 10 minutes. Pit color analyst. He'll also be in Charlotte, but hopefully for his sake, not riding with Zeiss down there. Is Lamar Jackson the key? I think most of us agree. The biggest key to this game on Sunday, Steelers-Ravens, is Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
Even if they keep him, even if they can force him into turnover machine mode, and they may not have to do a lot to get him there because he's been very loose with the football at times this year. Now, I doubt that the Steelers can do that, given their defense has not done that much at all this year. But let's say they do. Let's say they force Lamar Jackson into, I don't know, two fumbles and two picks. We've seen him do that at Heinz Field before. Is that enough for them to win on Sunday?
No, they have to score, even if it's field goals. They can't have empty possessions. And here's the deal. I'll take that back. They can have empty possessions. They can't just have like three and outs in possessions that are 2 minutes and 10 seconds and then punt the football off.
Or if they do get those turnovers, they can't get nothing out of them.
Correct.
They've got to turn them into points.
No, not necessarily. They've got to turn it into an 8-minute drive and then punt. Or then turn it back over or something. I think they have to win this football game real ugly.
I think it's a race to 20 kind of game, if that. Maybe 17. Because, look, the Ravens offense has not been a machine this year. Now, Lamar Jackson, when he's on, even when he's not on, he could put the ball on the ground three times. He could throw four picks like he did last week. He can still come out smelling like roses somehow because he's got the ability to turn everything on bang, one play.
At some point, and I don't want to sound morbid or anything like that, but at some point, Lamar Jackson's like not going to get up because of the amount of hits that he takes. He has done a pretty good job of being able to get out of bounds and find his way out of bounds and alleviate the big kill shot. But at some point, he's just not going to get up. He takes too many hits, far too many hits. And I wonder if safeties in the league have started to zero in on him a little bit.
What if he does, though? Like, follow me on this path. If Lamar Jackson continues to be able to, if he doesn't have any major injuries, right? How long can he continue to do this? Because every guy's athleticism gives out at a certain point. Or gets dialed back.
Longer than any of the other quarterbacks that have been built like him in the league, I think.
How long did Randall Cunningham play till? I mean, he had to be in his mid-30s, right, by the time he was done.
Randall Cunningham threw it different and better.
He did, no, yeah, I'm not trying to make an apples-to-apples comparison here. But that's, you know, that's the guy with the longest career of that kind of quarterback that I can think of. Maybe a Steve McNair type. Later in his career, McNair, though, I don't want to say he turned into a drop-back quarterback, but he didn't run nearly as much as he did when he was young. I'm just curious to see what happens to Lamar Jackson's game. Again, assuming no major catastrophic injuries. If he's still – once his athleticism starts to leave him just a little bit, how does his game develop at all?
Randy Cunningham played like 15 years, but he only played 160 games.
Right.
Because he ended up being a backup at the end of his career, both in Philly and in Minnesota.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Took some miles off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he came out of the gate. He played a lot of games. He played 16 games a bunch of seasons. He lost one whole season in Philadelphia. But he would play, but he threw the football a lot there.
But I think we've seen, at least early in his career, and again, as you get older
Randall
as a quarterback.
Randall Cunningham got sacked a ton.
Yes, he got beat up a lot.
A ton.
As you get deeper into your career as a quarterback, you clearly learn more about the game and more starts to just come to you naturally and instinctively. Does it happen with Lamar Jackson the same way? Does he use those experiences to become a better passer? No one can question he's the most dynamic playmaker in the game, I don't think. It's a matter of, can he become a better passer as his athleticism leaves him over the years?
And his receivers have done him not a whole lot of favors this year. They put it on the ground. They dropped the football.
That's why he throws it to Mark Andrews.
Correct.
17 times a
Correct.
Week.
Correct. Pat Bostic, Pitt color commentator, former quarterback. He joins right now as he's headed to the ACC Championship. Pat, a very good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, good. Reprise that music. Yes, go ahead. We're doing great. Thank you so much for joining. We talked a lot. We talked to Pat Narduzzi just the other day. We've talked about this Pitt game. We talked about this matchup. And we talk a lot about Kenny Pickett. But let's step away from that for a moment. Are we talking enough, because generally we talk about the hometown team a lot, but are we talking enough about what this Wake offense can potentially do to the Pitt defense, and how much are you a little bit worried about the Wake offense?
Yeah, I mean, they're a good group. They are that quarterback Sam Hartman's played really well. They run the RPO about as good and different than anybody else. I mean, they ride the mesh for like 2 seconds. The quarterback takes like 3 steps towards the line of scrimmage. So for those linebackers, I mean, it really looks like run. And the RPOs, you know, was a problem for Pitt earlier in the year. I think they've got a great group of receivers led by A.T. Perry, who is they got 2 guys with over 1,000 yards. So they're going to challenge you in the slot, outside, and all of it is going to come off of that run look. And we know how geared up Pat Narduzzi's defense is to stop the run. But what's most dangerous about this Wake offense is their ability to throw it. And then if things break down, Sam Hartman's he's dynamic in scramble situations.
What's your confidence level if this thing does get into a shootout, Pat, that Kenny Pickett and Pitt come out on top?
You know, if it gets into a shootout, I think it favors Pitt, quite frankly. I think they're the better drop-back passing team. You know, I think Wake's better when they have the threat of the run. If it gets into a, you know, you're just trading blows and it's just, you know, throwing the ball all over the place, I think Pitt's the better drop-back passing team. I think Kenny Pickett's the better quarterback. So my confidence level is high if that's how the game goes.
Are we talking so much about quarterbacks that we're not talking enough about the Pitt running game may be the difference in this football game?
100% agree, Colin. I think, you know, Pitt's run the ball when it's needed to all year and should get Israel Abanikanda back. Rodney Hammond's been great. Vincent Davis has had 2 straight great weeks. They're able to control the game and put together long drives. And we saw that early in the year. I think for 3 straight weeks in the month of October, they were able to outpossess the opponent, I think 10-5 in the fourth quarter. And that might be on the low side. So that's a championship formula. And if they need to draw on that tomorrow, I think they can draw on that and it'll lead them to a victory.
We talked to Gary Stokin, the CEO of the Peach Bowl yesterday, Pat, and he's a Pittsburgh guy. He's a Beachview native. So he's excited at the prospect of having Pitt come there. And he basically outlined how things are going to work. You win the ACC championship game, you're in all likelihood headed to the Peach Bowl. I feel like there's this momentum building now amongst Pitt fans, like, hey, let's just get past Wake. And I know the team doesn't think that way by all means, or the coaching staff, but how big of a disappointment would it be, do you think, for everyone involved, not just the team and the players, but the fan base, to get to this point, and if they can't get past Wake, and it means instead, I don't know, the Cheez-It Bowl or the Las Vegas Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want to win this game. This is what you work for. You want to win a championship, bring that back to Pittsburgh, and it's all out there in front of you. That being said, I mean, this team's done, you know, something that not a lot of Pitt teams have done over the last 50 years. And I think you can carry that with great pride and go out there and let it hang out. You know, I don't think this is a game that you press and say, oh, we have to win it. I think this is a game you go out and just get it done and go play ball and let the chips fall where they may. Either way, this has been just a terrific year for Pitt football. You got two, you know, players in Pickett and Addison that are, you know, they're up for major national awards. There's just been a lot of great buzz around it, and I got a feeling that buzz will continue tomorrow night.
Well, let's talk about that. And that's something that I want to talk to, especially with you. Okay, there's buzz around Pitt football, and people always talk about recruiting that. Let's step away from that. Tell me about what the people, because you intimately know about this, are people apt to give more? Are people who are boosters, are they back that maybe were lost on Pitt football for a while and are back in tune with the program? Is there a magnetism that you can measure that's different, that people have made a commitment now into the future? Let's talk about alumni a little bit and not people that are recruits. Can you quantify that at all? And I'm not asking for hard numbers, but tell me some of the effects that it's had in that community.
Yeah, it's had a lot, Colin. I mean, it's, you know, in my role, you kind of wait for these moments to happen because there's a lot of people, obviously, that they've had some bad memories over the years, and before they invest in something, they want to see that it's moving in the right direction and that has a chance to to really be successful. I think you're seeing the formula that Pat Narduzzi set forth 7 years ago bear fruit: consistency, continuity, veteran guys. They play a certain way. And, I mean, 7 points away from being 12-0. And I think that gives people excitement about the future. I think they see the type of kids that Pat Narduzzi recruits and the type of guys that represent our program, and they want to rally around it. And I think Heinz Field, you know, I know there will be talk about the number of fans, but the crowds we've had at Heinz Field this year have been as into it as I can remember. And that certainly bodes well for the future. And, yeah, I think people are feeling great about where this program is going, and we're certainly seeing that on a daily basis with how people are giving back.
Pitt color analyst Pat Bostick with us here on the Fan Morning Show, previewing the ACC championship game down in Charlotte tomorrow night, 8 o'clock here on the Fan. Pregame coverage starting at 5. Is the window still open that if Kenny goes off tomorrow night, he can win the Heisman?
I mean, he's got the curtain call. I mean, he's at 8 o'clock. I think the SEC championship's at 4, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And Bryce Young's got quite a formidable defense in front of him. So I would say Bryce Young's probably the odds-on favorite. But if that game doesn't go the way Alabama wants it and Kenny goes out and goes off, I think he's got more than a clincher's chance to win that Heisman Trophy.
Between this, the ACC championship, and then a bowl game after that, there is some danger in the Pat Bostick diet that's about to happen over the next month or so. Pat, you aware of this?
I'm very aware of it. Plus, you got Christmas to throw in there with all the cookies and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, this is not good. I gotta exercise self control and use my willpower, but listen, I'll gain 30 pounds if it means we're going to win an ACC championship.
There he is. Take one for the team, Pat Bostick. Pat, thank you so much. Go get a win. We'll talk to you again next week. We appreciate it, as always, man.
All right, boys. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks, certainly. Pat. Safe travels.
He's just so good. So good. I love him. But, yeah, he's on that banquet circuit now, man. I love it. And you know, he sells it. He's great at he is unbelievable at everything he touches.
He really is.
It's great ambassador for the university, great color commentator. And you know, this is why I love, you know, hometown radio, and why I love guys that do games for, you know, whether it's the Steelers, whether it's the Penguins, but it doesn't matter what team all across the country is, you find those people that truly love it. I mean, he stood under center for this team. He's played at Pitt. When he calls a game, it's with emotion, and it's with, I want this team to win, and I don't need to hide that.
No. You don't want your color analyst for your college football team to hide it. You want him to do a little dance when Kenny Pickett makes some crazy kind of throw.
Give out the officials' names if you
have to. Let's pump the brakes there in Lubbock.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.